starts off with 8 bounces and misses his serve. It'll be interesting to see whether he is moving as freely as he was at the end of Saturday's match or Sunday morning's match. Because 4 hours, 29 minutes that match lasted. Forehand from Djokovic, backhand from Cerundolo. Drop shot by Djokovic. Cerundolo will get there. It goes up the line. Djokovic throws with a half volley. Cerundolo smashes into the net. Half volley lob.
It's a good lob, and it was hard work for Cerundolo to get back to it. He sort of did a good job jumping, but didn't quite make it.
Diminor has broken, so he's just 2 service games away from placing his first ever major quarterfinal.
Cerundolo is another one looking for his first major quarterfinal today.
Djokovic serves into the backhand of Cerundolo. Cerundolo's into the net. I like Cerundolo as a person. He's a good guy. He refused to go full-time on the tour until he reached a certain level of education. He said that's important.
Sensible.
Yeah. And he's the right-hander of the two. There's 3 kids. The middle one, the girl, plays hockey at a very high level. I think she may even play for Argentina's hockey team. Francisco is the eldest of the 3, and Juan Manuel is the youngest. He's the left-hander, but he's a lot shorter.
Yeah, sister's Constanza, played for Argentina's hockey team that won the gold medal in the Youth Olympics in 2018.
There we go. Backhand return from Djokovic. Now back Djokovic down the line. Forehand from Cerundolo. Forehand Djokovic, cross court. Forehand Cerundolo. Djokovic, drop shot. Cerundolo won't even attempt to go for that one. Djokovic is starting, looking very, very sharp.
Yeah, he does. Look, starting the way he finished against Musetti the other night. And using the drop shot very well and very often already. And I think spotting how deep in the court Cerundolo is trying to play, or is playing at this stage.
Djokovic. At 40 love. Opening game of the match. Serves to the backhand. The chipped return is going wide. And Djokovic holds to love.
Don't think Novak practiced yesterday. Not 100% sure, but he wasn't on the list.
Well, he played 3 hours early in the morning.
Well, I mean, he played in the morning, exactly. And, you know, I was going to say, I totally don't blame him. I think absolutely the right thing to do. It's not like he hasn't played enough tennis in his life. I think he knows how to get back in condition for the next match.
And he's not had that many matches in recent weeks, has
no.
he? You know, he played Monte Carlo. That was his most successful tournament. Got to the semis. Then sat out until Rome, where he only played 2. Then he entered Geneva because he felt he needed a bit more practice. But it was a weird score against Mahatch in the semis, which...
Yeah, although Mahatch has shown...
Yes, he's played well.
He's playing very well. He played well here. But it was, I mean, for Novak, it's a bad loss. So especially in terms of the way the score was.
Cerundolo, wearing a predominantly white shirt, but yellow flashes at the top. I think it might be yellow at the back.
Zach's listening from Illinois, Urbana, Illinois. Grateful as always for your excellent coverage. Thanks, Zach.
Cerundolo serves the backhand of Djokovic. Backhand Cerundolo, backhand Djokovic. Cerundolo with his two-hander down the forehand wing of Djokovic. Djokovic to the backhand of Cerundolo. Forehand Djokovic. Cerundolo makes ground to his forehand. Forehand Djokovic into out. Cerundolo is there with his two-hander. Goes cross-court. Backhand Djokovic. Cross-court is wide.
And Dave has sent a picture of where he's enjoying coffee with a cherry scone with the plays and podiatry, Meddy's foot, calls, while relaxing at the Brighton Coffee House and Theatre, an adaptively reused project that converted an early 1900s bank building.
Looks Where's lovely. That?
In Brighton.
Brighton?
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder where that is, actually. It looks very nice.
It does.
I must try that. It's not far from where I live. Forehand from... Medvedev goes long, and Diminor holds for 5-3. Backhand from Cerundolo to the backhand of Djokovic. Forehand Cerundolo down the backhand wing. Djokovic is there, goes up the forehand wing of Cerundolo. It's a short ball. Cerundolo plays the drop shot and wins.
Beautifully done. This time Cerundolo, realising that Djokovic was deep in the court, just turned the face of the racket open on the forehand side, dropped it over. I mean, I think all good clay courters are masters of the drop shot these days.
Yes.
A real weapon.
It is. Well, especially as so many players stand further back. if you're going to play sort of just camped behind the baseline, then it's much less effective. But if they're going to be 2-3 meters behind, so much extra ground to make up. Zurindalo at 30 love, Mike there 30-15 because he's double faulted.
Okay. I can't afford to do too many of those. No gifts for Djokovic. He's hoping to get into this match.
Zurindalo at 30-15. Serving from the president's box end. Goes out wide to the backhand of Djokovic. Lofted deep to the forehand of Zurindalo. Djokovic with a backhand up the middle of the court. Forehand Zurindalo is long. Get the sense Zurindalo's a bit nervous out here.
No, it's not surprising, is it, really?
No, there's no criticism involved. No. I'm just sort of...
He may well be.
You lose your serve.
That's a huge stage. Got to the fourth round last year.
Yeah.
You know, massive opportunity for him to show what he could do. But, yeah, not... not at all surprising that someone would be really nervous.
30 all. Zurindalo serves out wide. Forehand return. Forehand half volley off his baseline from Zurindalo. Backhand Djokovic is really hitting the ball very smoothly at the moment. Forehand from Zurindalo. Backhand Djokovic. Zurindalo with to the single hander of Djokovic. Now backhand from Zurindalo. Djokovic back with his two hander and he nets it.
Keeping an eye on the Dubinor Medvedev match, which is getting close to the end. Medvedev 30 all at 3-5.
He's living very dangerously, Medvedev, and frankly, unless he picks up his level or Dubinor really freezes inside of victory, it's hard to see Medvedev how he can win this one. Zurindalo, 40-30, serves to the forehand of Djokovic. Djokovic onto the baseline of Zurindalo. Now goes up the forehand wing. Zurindalo is there, goes cross-court. Forehand Djokovic to the backhand of Zurindalo. Forehand Djokovic. Zurindalo with his backhand to the drop shot of Djokovic. Brings Zurindalo in, goes down the line, clean winner.
We're going to cross quickly to Dubinor and Medvedev because it's match point.
It's match point for Alex Dubinor. Medvedev serving. Goes out to the, looking to go down the tee, but it put it long and wide. Second serve, on match point. Into the net. And that somehow sums it up. Alex Dubinor through to his first ever major quarterfinal. And he ground that out. Medvedev, very sporting. But Medvedev will go back to the locker room and, well, this will have done nothing to make him like clay. But credit to Dubinor. It's got a big smile on its face. I love it, he says. I love it. We can lip read that.
He's such a modest guy.
He is.
Dubinor, but he's sort of finding it hard to celebrate.
Who would have thought his first major would come here? I could see it on a hard court.
Yeah.
I could just about see it on grass.
Yeah.
On clay, difficult.
Not Medvedev's day. I don't think he was maybe not quite 100%. But we'll find out later, I guess. But a decent Roland Garros for him, fourth round. His time will come again on hard courts later on in the year, no doubt.
Well, I think he can be useful on grass as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because he can hit through the court better. A flat surface.
Fabrice Santoro is going to have a chat with Dubinor.
Oh, we'll save for the interview, given that Djokovic and Zurindalo are very much early in their match.
It's a nice brace at the net between the two.
Yeah. I think Medvedev had sort of recognised this wasn't going to be his day, probably end of the third set.
Yeah. He tried to change things up a little bit in the fourth. A lot more spin, a lot more loft, a lot more height. But Dubinor is just too solid. Too good. It's great to see. He's a nice guy, is Alex Dubinor. Really nice guy.
It's mixed Spanish and Australian parentage. Born in Sydney, but spent a lot of his childhood in Alicante. In fact, he's back based in Alicante now.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's a lot easier to be based in Europe or America.
Absolutely.
Given the travel on the tour.
And he's got a lot of family there.
Yes.
And they've got a lot of classic cars. He loves classic cars, loves animals. I think they've got dogs with he and Katie Bolter. So she spends a lot of time there too. Nice place to train.
Very nice. Well, the whole point about so many people training in southern Spain and Portugal is that, like in Florida, you could play outdoors all year round.
Exactly. Just been signing autographs, that's why he's been delayed.
Yeah, I think someone said to him, we're waiting for an interview.
Fabrice is here.
Fabrice is around. So let's hear from Alex Diminor talking with Fabrice Santoro.
Mesdames et messieurs, quelques mots avec Alex qui va nous faire la joie de répondre en français.
Try and get this one in French.
Alex, bravo pour ta performance.
Alex, well
c'était
done
un match
for your
fantastique.
It was a fantastic match.
Tu es pour la première fois de ta carrière
en quart
de finale de Roland Garros. Bravo.
Quarter final Roland Garros. Well done.
Oui, je vais essayer en français.
Yeah, I'm going to try in French.
Je veux dire merci à tous.
C'était
une ambiance incroyable.
Amazing atmosphere.
Pour moi, c'est
for me.
Je ne m'espère pas d'être ici dans le quart de finale de Roland Garros parce que
moi, Roland Garros,
j'ai pas joué très bien.
I've never played well in recent years.
Jouer Daniel ici à Roland Garros sur terre battue, tu savais que ça serait difficile.
On clay, you knew that would be difficult.
Comment tu as mis ton jeu en place aujourd'hui?
How have you dealt with this game today?
Contre Daniel, c'est toujours un jeu trop tactique.
It's always a very tactical match.
Deux, on défend très bien.
He plays from the back of the court very well.
Oui, on va essayer de changer le pace de
change the pace of the balls.
Ça c'est trop difficile en français.
It's too difficult. It's too difficult to explain this in French.
Je suis trop content.
I'm very happy.
Oui, je veux dire que je suis trop content d'avoir gagné aujourd'hui.
Just want to say I'm very happy to have won today.
Le prochain round.
And I'm looking
encore
very
une fois,
much
félicitations
to the
et merci
next
d'avoir
round.
Répondu en français. Qualifié pour les quarts de finale, Alex Diminor.
Well, he was using the word tall when he meant très.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I translated it as very rather than two.
Exactly.
But that's clearly what he meant to say. And good for him. I didn't know he spoke French.
Yes, I was going to say that he spoke French. I interviewed him at the pleasure of... Well, I actually interviewed him twice in Australia this year. Once just before the tournament for a normal preview. And then I got asked to write a big sort of profile of him for Esquire magazine, which was great. So I got to go and see him.
Didn't you go for the photo shoot?
Yeah, I went for the photo shoot. Yeah. So I had to go for a couple of hours to sit there and watch him trying on all these outfits. And he looked very much out of his element, but he enjoyed it. He smiled. He said all the right things to the right people.
I saw the main picture they used. He looked good in that.
He did, in the denim jacket.
Yeah, I looked at one or two others and I thought, no, that's not you.
Well, it was quite preppy stuff. It was sort of Ralph Lauren photo shoot, but it was great. We had half an hour to talk after it, so we talked about all sorts of things, including languages and Alicante and his family and his classic love of classic cars. He's got loads, but he also has a Mini that he bought. It's an old Mini, and he just restored it. So he's a really genuinely nice guy, but he's also the leader of the Australian pack, not just in ranking terms. But they all look up to him for his work ethic and the way he treats his job.
So they should.
Absolutely. And then they're all responding. If you look at them all, they're all hard workers, those guys.
Well, because his work ethic is quite superb.
Yeah, he's very proud of that. And so he should be.
And Diminor now plays the winner of tonight's match between Zverev and Rune. Did I say that the winner of Zverev and Rune plays Djokovic or Sundarundalo? If I did, I got it wrong. But it's... Yeah, it's Diminor against Zverev or Rune in the quarterfinals. Now then, while we were at that, Novak Djokovic went 15-40 down. But being Djokovic, he won 4 points on the run. And is now leading 2-1. Sorundolo serving at 1-2. Hits a forehand to the backhand of Djokovic. Drop shot by Djokovic is too good.
Lizzie says, do you know if Alex Diminor was able to get tickets for his famous supporter from the last round? If anyone didn't see, there was a young boy who was there cheering every single point, and he'd been there 10 hours because the match had been delayed 5 hours, and he was still on court hanging around, and Alex de Minaur made a point of talking about him afterwards, and then found him. He asked on Twitter, on social media, if anyone knew who that boy was and how they could contact him, get him back for the next match. And he did come back for today's match. So the de Minaur team sorted that out. That's really nice.
That's a great story. Djokovic has got Surundalo now on the back foot. Surundalo nets a forehand.
Ruby says, well done, Alex. Speaking in your second, maybe third, what do I know?
Third language, yes, it's your third.
Says, maybe third, what do I know? Language in front of thousands of people after that match. It always impresses me when players do that. Tu parles très bien.
Well, yeah, it's not just the speaking. It's actually being able to do so with a massive crowd there. I mean, 10,000 people on that arena. And you know, you see how he ran into difficulties trying to explain the tactics, but
yes.
I thought he did very well.
He did. Ruby actually says, je suis trop content is correct. It's idiomatic. It means, I'm so happy. There you go. You can probably use it in many ways.
Surundalo, 15-30, serves down the centre, forehand return, backhand Surundalo, forehand from Djokovic, into out, Surundalo is there, goes down the forehand wing, Djokovic is there, forehand from Surundalo, into out, is a clean winner, nice point construction.
Yeah, that's a good point to win. 15-30, difficult times to actually get Djokovic out of court and then send the winner away and make him feel good.
Surundalo, 30 all. He's at the commentary box end. Serves out wide. Forehand return from Djokovic. Half volley from Surundalo. Djokovic will play a two-hand across court. Backhand from Surundalo. Backhand Djokovic up the middle. Forehand from Surundalo. Djokovic hits his forehand to the forehand of Surundalo. Forehand to forehand at the moment. Djokovic now goes at the backhand wing. Forehand from Djokovic. Cross court, but nets.
Matthew was asking earlier about Ebden and Bapana. Let's give you another update on those two. It's 4 all in the third. And the Tsitsipases lost the first set to Dodig and Krajicek. They are 3-all in the second set. Lots of juniors around, lots of doubles on court. Lots going on.
40-30. Served by Surundalo. Forehand from Surundalo is long.
Ryan in Sydney says, epic win from the Demon, with the final three sets seeing him put on an absolute clinic. May I just remind everyone that de Minaur was my dark horse. Yes, I'm pretty sure that young fan saw the match. Did indeed. I think he'll get back for the next one too.
Deuce on the Surundalo serve. He puts his serve into the net. Second serve. This is to the backhand of Djokovic. Backhand from Surundalo is long.
Getting annoyed, Surundalo, which is not a good sign this stage of the match.
Serve from Surundalo is just long. Break point Djokovic. Second serve now. This to the backhand of Djokovic. Flattened out by Djokovic. Forehand from Surundalo. Deep to the backhand of Djokovic. Backhand Surundalo. Djokovic will go back to the backhand. He's peppering the backhand of Surundalo. Now he goes up the forehand wing. Forehand Surundalo cross court. Forehand Djokovic. Surundalo goes up the backhand wing. Djokovic with his two-hander. Two-hander from Surundalo down the line, but Djokovic slides into this. Forehand from Surundalo. Djokovic with a defensive backhand is going to land just inside the baseline. Forehand into the net from Surundalo. And Djokovic is broken.
Djokovic is broken, but he's still getting annoyed with his team about something or other. He's just standing there, sort of open palms, going, what? You know. Not sure what the problem is, just broken serve. Strange one.
Djokovic is, I mean, he's a very interesting guy, and there are times when he is lovely, reasonable, but you don't get to where he is without having a cussed streak in you.
Having an edge.
Having an edge, yes.
He loves having a chat to his team. But what it's about, nobody seems to know. They, half the time, they don't even respond.
Serve from Djokovic. The backhand of Cirundolo. Backhand Djokovic. Cirundolo up the forehand wing. Djokovic cross court to the forehand of Cirundolo. Forehand from Djokovic down the line. That was a little bit overambitious.
Gwen in Illinois says, this time of year, my favourite fruit is apricots. In Illinois, though, rhubarb, vegetable, season, is in full swing, and I make a crumble mixed with blueberries and lemon zest. I agree that the crumb must have millet, oats and some brown sugar.
Oh, good.
Go.
Good, there we go. Wonderful.
Richard says, Chris's dismissiveness of the rubbish that I write that he doesn't find funny reminds me of the way my old maths teacher used to dismiss my feeble attempts to solve equations.
Oh, my goodness. I'm being compared to the maths teacher. Right. Oh, Richard, we'll have to agree to differ on that one. Backhand from Djokovic. A slice.
Sorry, what his maths teacher said.
Well, yes, exactly. I appreciate all your comments, Richard.
Yeah, he's keeping us entertained.
Yeah, and actually, yes. And we love to hear from everyone wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, get in touch.
Mostly about tennis, but occasionally about fruit.
No, mostly about other stuff, and occasionally about tennis. Twitter at @radio_RG and email FrenchOpenRadio@fft.fr. Tell us where you are, what you're doing while you're listening to us, and who you're pulling for.
Djokovic has started this match very, very impressively.
Yeah, it's not looking like there's any hangover from the other night.
No. The only slight sign was he was bending his neck round a little bit, but he often does that anyway.
Yeah, I think trying to second-guess Novak's state of mind and body is not worth doing.
No, and I've learnt too many times, when he looks like he might be ailing, don't believe it. But occasionally he will be, but often it's just part of the body language. That's a great forehand by Djokovic. Cirundolo pushed him well wide, must have thought he was in a good position. And Djokovic got across and played the most wonderful flat forehand.
Over the years, Djokovic has definitely added pace to his ground strokes. I think most of that has come from adding a little bit of weight to the racket, which he's done at various times. His racket's quite heavy, so he's able to get enormous pace at full range on his ground strokes.
Djokovic serving. A backhand return is gone wide, and Djokovic holds to lead by 4-1.
Yeah, a good start from Djokovic. Looks very calm and, well, generally calm. Still in the challenge team, but happy with the way he's playing.
Someone was asking about Bopanna and Ebden.
Yes.
They are having a real battle against Balaji and Reyes Varela. They're 5-5 in the third set. So the number 2 seeds, Australian Open champions, really having their work cut out. Second
message.
Round of the doubles. Sorry.
Yeah. No. It's a good, good match with Ebsen and Bopanna.
It's third round, I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Message from John in Galway. Hi, Chris and Simon. Even though today's a bank holiday in Ireland, I put the day aside to work on a screenplay I'm writing. So I swore no Radio Roland Garros for one day. It's not going so well. What's the screenplay about, John? Let us know.
Well, it's not about anything at the moment, because he's listening to us.
Well, I'm sure he started it.
Or maybe some tennis has crept in.
Maybe. Tennis is quite popular in films and plays these days.
Yeah. Well, there's a recent
Challengers
film.
Was the latest.
Challengers was the latest one, wasn't it? Came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
No.
The documentary on Roger Federer coming out on the 20th. They just dropped the full trailer of it. The moment when Federer announced that he was going to retire.
So it's about his retirement?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. There's supposed to be a couple of documentaries of Djokovic in preparation, but they've been in preparation for a while.
Well, he's got his own one, hasn't he?
Well, I was interviewed for his own one, but that must be about 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
Most of it's out of date now.
Well, we had a story on tennis majors, because Sasha Osmo wrote a book. He's a Serbian journalist who covers Djokovic and the tour. And they're still hoping to release it, but they just don't know when. I guess maybe they're waiting for the end of his career, perhaps. Or yeah. Maybe for the 25th win or 25th slam.
I just have the feeling that it's going to sell better if he's still playing.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because people want to know about the guy who's turning up to these tournaments and winning so many of them.
Order of play is out for tomorrow, for Tuesday, and it is...
Because these are the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, 11 a.m. start still on court. Yeah. Philippe Chatrier starts with Coco Gauff and Ons Jabeur. Then it'll be Iga Świątek and Marketa Vondrousova, followed by Grigor Dimitrov against Jannik Sinner. In the ninth session, not surprisingly, is Carlos Alcaraz against Stefanos Tsitsipas, as it was last year at the same stage when Alcaraz put on a bit of a show.
Well, Alcaraz believes he has the key to Sinner's game.
And is not afraid to say it.
Tsitsipas's game. And he's not prepared to say it.
Not afraid to say it, yeah.
Even though Tsitsipas himself appears to find it...
irritating.
Yes. Still, let his tennis do the talking.
He's never lost to him, has he? That's the thing. That's probably why he's so happy to talk about it.
And it's honest, isn't it?
Yeah. Ella from Melbourne. Home of the best slam ever, she says. Melbourne. Go the demon. This could be another Aussie Grand Slam. Aussie Open next on his radar. Also, I wear two pairs of socks when winter hits. For sport, yeah, but, or just because you're cold?
But winter in Melbourne is a lot warmer than most other parts of the world.
I know, Courtney keeps telling me. Oh, it's 18 in Melbourne today.
Yes,
so,
I know.
Well, it's 18 in Paris. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, I've had friends. Oh, look, it gets cold here in Australia. So, well, how cold? Oh, it's been 15 on Christmas Day.
I mean, outside Courtney, for example, was originally from Ballarat, which is a couple of hours away from Melbourne.
Yeah.
And that can get down to zero in the winter. So
there is a bit of snow. There's a bit of skiing, isn't there?
There is.
Melbourne.
In Victoria, yeah.
Yes. Forehand from Djokovic to the forehand of... Cirundolo. Djokovic flattens out this backhand. Cirundolo is there but nets, and Djokovic has two more break points.
Yeah, just making a few too many errors, and Novak totally in command of everything at the moment.
Yeah, he's put a cap on, which is rare. He does occasionally wear it in strong sun, but I don't think it's strong sun at the moment. Maybe he wants
it's
it
strong
for the
compared to the none that we've had for a week.
Oh,
maybe
well,
that's
absolutely
why. Maybe just getting used to just adjusting his eyes.
15-40 points for a double break. Backhand return from Djokovic to the backhand of Cirundolo. Drop shot from Djokovic is wide. He's looking so comfortable that was almost a bit of showboating.
On the official Roland Garros website, they have something called an excitement rate by emphasis on matches, and for the Tsitsipas Alcaraz it's 100%.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised.
But I wonder if the players look at that. They'd be a bit disappointed, wouldn't they, if it's got like 22% or something.
Well, it depends what average is, isn't it? As Cirundolo serves, still break point Djokovic, forehand Cirundolo, backhand from Djokovic up the middle of the court. A drop shot by Cirundolo. Djokovic will get there. He goes cross court with a winner. And Cirundolo didn't even attempt to chase that. And I think Cirundolo is a little bit lacking ideas about how to play this match.
Yeah. And as you said, maybe a bit nervous at first too.
What's Djokovic talking to the umpire about?
I don't know. I wonder if it's something to do with the sun. Maybe what? It's bouncing off some, reflecting off things, or not sure that the umpire could do much about that.
I don't think there's any problem with Djokovic.
No, it doesn't look like it. John's got back in touch. Good man, Chris. There's nothing in the screenplay right now. It's a science fiction film about a near future where AI advances have made all data encryption obsolete, and society is completely altered. It's a light-hearted rom-com. I might add some tennis.
Right.
Sounds good.
That's a forehand down the line by Djokovic, and Cirundolo goes wide. Yeah. At what point does sci-fi become so imaginative that completely blank page counts as a screenplay?
Well, in my world where I can't write one, that'd be it. Ella in Melbourne says it's 3 degrees where I'm living. I'm in the hills. When you go to Mount Hotham, which is 2 hours from Melbourne, it's cold. Yeah, two socks because I'm freezing, she says.
Djokovic playing a very delicate drop volley. And he's all over this match.
Well, he didn't need to play it that well or that angle, did he? Could have dropped it simply on the other side, but he's clearly enjoying himself a lot. Very feeling, very comfortable.
Well, this first set is going very comfortably towards the defending champion. He serves out wide, forehand return, backhand from Djokovic, forehand Cirundolo, backhand Djokovic. Cirundolo goes cross court with his forehand, Djokovic is there, lofts it up the backhand wing. Cirundolo flattens this out, forehand Djokovic, forehand Cirundolo, forehand Djokovic up the backhand wing. He's missed that one though. Trying to work out what Cirundolo can get out of these. I mean, the set's basically decided, but what can he get out of this that could give him something to latch onto in the second set?
Yeah, some rhythm for a start, and just, I mean, maybe he's just hoping that Djokovic misses a few shots to let him into the set, but
there's not a lot
of
evidence
doing
of
that much with the
no,
ball.
No, he's not.
He's not really trying to force it either, so he's just being, well, Djokovic is being allowed to play the way he wants to play, or however he wants to play.
This time Cirundolo goes wide. I mean, I'd just like to see him let rip on a couple of forehands.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of playing, he's playing a little nervously. He's not really going for anything.
Djokovic with two set points, 40-15, serves, and was going to serve and volley, but the serve was long.
Yeah, Maria's asking, is Cirundolo surrendering, or is he nervous? Well, I think he might be nervous.
I think he's nervous, yeah. Have these two played before?
No.
No, okay, so he's still working out Djokovic. Forehand return, deep to the forehand of Djokovic. Forehand Cirundolo is deep to the forehand of Djokovic. Now lofted by Cirundolo to the backhand of Djokovic. Good length from both men. Backhand Djokovic up the forehand wing. Cirundolo goes back to the Djokovic backhand. Drop shot by Djokovic. Cirundolo will get there and goes cross court with the winner.
Yeah, that wasn't his best drop shot. Better from Cirundolo. I was just watching his movement in particular. It's sort of very easy. Doesn't seem that dynamic at the moment, but
incidentally, the temperature is now up to 21 Celsius.
Woo-hoo.
And the humidity's come down to 53.
Well. No, it's actually genuinely warm in the sun. Matthew says, please don't forget to get to the Dermanor press conference. Well, I will be on my way to that, I promise.
Do we know what time it is?
Check when it is, actually. Have a look. No, not yet. No time for it yet. It won't be for a while.
It will be for a while.
It'll be 5:30, 5:45, something like that. He says, who's on after you guys? Well,
Marcus?
Good question. Let's have a look. Marcus and Eleanor.
Yeah. Djokovic, second set point. So that's the backhand of Cirundolo. Forehand from Djokovic into out. Backhand from Cirundolo. Oh, we had a chance to go down the line. Djokovic with a drop shot. Cirundolo's there. He makes that one. Not a great drop shot from Djokovic.
No.
He's got a bit casual in those last two set points.
It's been so easy, isn't it?
It has been. It's been too easy, actually. But there was a chance for Cirundolo to really go down the line. But he played safe and went down the middle of the court. Mind you, Cirundolo, I think, has better results on hard than he does on clay. I know he'll have grown up on clay, but
yeah, but quite a lot. Someone like, look at the Argentinian slug at Del Potro. He had better results on hard.
Backhand from Cirundolo. Big forehand from Djokovic. A lob from Cirundolo. Djokovic lets this bounce, and it's long.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the stats. Cirundolo's having not much luck on his second serve. Nor is Djokovic, to be honest, but on Djokovic's first serve, he's winning 83% compared to the 50 of Cirundolo, so he's getting nothing for free. Probably needs to lift his first serve percentage from 60% a little bit nearer to 70 to start putting a bit of pressure on Djokovic.
Set point number three. Djokovic from the commentary box end, serving down the centre, forehand return off the top of the net. Djokovic goes up the forehand and comes into the net behind it. Djokovic nets his volley.
His first point he's lost at the net, Djokovic. And just looking at the stats of the breakdown of where the rallies are won, the big differential is in the rallies of 0-4 shots. It's 17-4 Djokovic's favour. The other two stats, 5-8 and 8+, they are 9+, they are even. But in the short ones, which usually constitutes the majority of points in a match, he is being absolutely trounced.
Djokovic at deuce serves into the net. when you watch him in the flesh as opposed to on a TV screen, he is so much more fluent.
It's really interesting if you watch Djokovic, old tapes of Djokovic from when he was young, but sort of still round two and one in the world. He was so sort of, his movement was jerky and stuff, and it wasn't nowhere near as sort of
fluent as it is now. Djokovic plays a drop shot, now plays a drop volley, a lob, which is smashed away by Cerundolo. And Cerundolo has a break back point.
He is more stable on the court. You know, his movement is so good these days. And he's always where he needs to be. Whereas when he was younger, he was just reacting to the ball a lot and just out of position.
The other shot that he's really improved is the slice.
Yep.
I'm not sure that the overhead is any better than it ever was.
No, the serve is. The serve is definitely better.
He doesn't hit the overhead with particular power.
No.
He just looks to direct it. The serve is very good. The
serve's improved a lot.
The slice is excellent these days.
Bronson said, does anyone understand how to figure out Djokovic? Have you got a game plan for him? No.
Well, yes, but it requires about 100% execution. I think many of the matches Nadal won against him here were won on sheer force of personality from Nadal. Nadal had an aura here, which he didn't have on hard courts. Forehand from Cerundolo is long.
But he still won 4 US Opens.
He did. But
not bad.
Only one of them involved beating Djokovic, I think.
2013. Yeah, I know that because that's when my son was born.
Ah, so you missed it.
Yeah, I was listening to it while we were waiting.
The 54-stroke rally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Djokovic
won. Wait a minute.
Djokovic won that rally, and that was the end of him.
Well, it'd be the end of me. I'd be in hospital.
Yes. Djokovic at deuce. 5-1 first set. Looking for the ace, but it's just wide.
Kevin says it wouldn't be a tennis Grand Slam radio broadcast if there was not discussion of food. And this year's Roland Garros is not disappointing. Well, I'm getting quite hungry, Kevin, while we see this. It's quite difficult.
Well, there's a pineapple here and some cherries. So
pineapple's quite hard to eat, do you reckon?
Well, yes, although not according to a little video they've been watching.
No.
There's backhand from Djokovic onto the baseline. No, it's gone long.
Ebden and Bopana are in a final set tiebreak and they're 8-7 up.
But on serve.
It's first to 10, of course.
And the Tsitsipas brothers are 5-all against Dodig and Krajicek. Second set, Dodig and Krajicek taking the first. I saw Ivan Dodig playing mixed with Donna Vekic. Mm. 5 rings in there somewhere. You see these sort of mixed doubles combinations of the same nations in Olympic years.
Yeah. Yeah, people getting a bit of extra practice in. Good idea.
Yeah. The Olympics are about the only place where you see people pulling out of singles in order to enhance their chances in doubles because they all want a medal. And if the best chance is in doubles, then they go for it. Backhand from Cerundolo. He's got another break point here. Forehand Djokovic, the forehand of Cerundolo. Djokovic goes down the forehand, the backhand wing with a clean winner.
Yeah, and mixed doubles at the Olympics you can only play in if you're already entered in the singles.
Yes.
So you can't just play mixed doubles, for example. You've got to be a singles player adding an event on.
Djokovic has raced through this set, but it's taken him, I think it's 10 minutes since his first set point. 5-1 deuce. Djokovic serves off the top of the net, so it gets retaken. So we're going to have a 6-1 set that's going to take about 40 minutes. Djokovic serving. Caught the top of the net again. That's the rule I'd abolish. I really would.
The let?
Yeah. It's already been abolished in juniors and college tennis.
But
the reason being that when they don't have umpires, it's too easy to cheat.
Mm.
Second serve down the centre. Backhand return is netted.
I don't like it, and I don't think there's been quite a few discussions behind the scenes, as learning last night amongst players about rules that could be changing and what they think of them and stuff. The let one is a bit, is not necessarily one that the players favour.
Right.
I don't like the fact that it adds a bit more luck to the game. That's the reason.
Oh, that'd be your reason for objecting to change?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Djokovic, another set point. He serves and volleys, plays a half volley, and that's far too good for Cirundolo. Gorgeous touch. And we have indeed got a 40-minute set, which has gone to Djokovic by 6-1.
Yeah, very nice from Djokovic. Nice hands to finish that off. And Papana and Ebden have finished it off too. They've won that tiebreak 10-8 to the Aussie Open champions, Livon.
And women's singles match has begun on Suzanne Longland court. Varvara Gracheva against Mira Andreeva. They're in the opening game of that one. And although Gracheva spent all her childhood in Russia, she now lives in France and has French nationality. So she is the last French player in the singles.
Yeah. Gwen in Illinois has come back and said, your mention of the Novak video reminded me that last year at this time I checked for books on Coco Gauff at the local e-library. I ended up putting one on hold, which means when it's my turn to check out the book, they'll notify me. Well, it occurred to me that I've never been notified in the whole year. I checked and I'm now at number 10 on the list. Maybe I can read it this year. It never occurred to me that sports star books would be so popular. It's not a usual topic for me to check out. Good old mystery novels, my style. The longest wait for any book was 6 months for a finance book. Normal is about a month. Interesting.
Well, I mean, sports books are very popular. There's a sort of optimum point for a sports biography. I mean, biography is slightly a misnomer. It's like a book-length profile. And, when a player is well enough known that there's curiosity, but they're not so well known that everything's known about them, that's the time for a book.
Alex says, on the men's side, who's the current favourite?
Oh, that's a good question.
The bookmaker's favourite is Carlos Alcaraz. It's partly because he's already a round further than Djokovic. But I should think, Djokovic keeps playing like this...
Every round, Djokovic goes closer to being favourite, I think.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced about Alcaraz. Just I'm not convinced about Sinner. But there's no one that's playing really lights out tennis, is there?
No, and they don't need to, do they? This is the thing. We won't really know until they take on each other how well they are playing. They can play very well, as they have done in their own individual matches, but it's really only when they take on each other that we'll get a feeling for who's right on top of their game and who could actually elevate their game when they need it.
Cirundolo starting the second set. Backhand return from Djokovic to the backhand of Cirundolo. Deep from Cirundolo. Now goes the forehand of Djokovic. Cross-court Djokovic. Push back forehand by Cirundolo. Djokovic slices. Thinks of coming to the net but retreats to the baseline. Now plays a two-hander to the two-hander of Cirundolo. Cross-court Djokovic. Forehand from Cirundolo is going long.
John's a funny guy. There's an excellent tennis book called The Roger Federer Effect. Have you guys heard of it? I think a lot of people heard a lot about it last year when I wrote it.
Yes.
Or co-wrote it.
Co-wrote
it. Simon Graf, Switzerland. Yeah, you can still get it. It's out there.
I was talking to your co-author the other day and I said it's actually the kind of thing that you could do for others as well.
Yeah, we thought about it.
You could patent the dot, effect. Dot, dot effect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you could do. I wonder how much appetite there would be for, another...
I think it has to be somebody who has life-changing effects. I mean, you could do it with like a sort of Michael Jordan,
Murray.
Kobe Bryant.
I think maybe an Andy Murray would work as if his effect...
Lionel Messi, you could do it for.
Yeah, that's true.
There's enough people who don't know the person concerned whose lives are changed by them.
Yeah, that's true.
That, I think, was the key aspect of your book, wasn't
it? Yes, exactly.
I know there are a few people that did know Federer who you included, but it was, as much as anything, the fact that people who didn't know him, their lives were changed.
No, I mean, all of the people in it that we interviewed knew him, most of them quite well. Only a few sort of really admired him from outside and he changed their lives, but they didn't know him. But their lives were certainly interacted with his. And, yeah, amazing. I mean, he touched so many people's lives. That's the fascinating thing about
it. Cirundolo just hit a very nice backhand down the line.
Yeah, there were people like Anne-Sophie Mutter, who adores Federer, and he's never met her.
Yeah.
He's never come to one of her concerts.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. She would love him to...
Well, I'm sure it's probably...
He's got more time on his hands.
Some diary secretary will do it.
Yeah.
I mean, does Federer like classical music?
Well, I think he'd appreciate someone who admires him so much, so I'm sure he would show up for something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
He's got more time now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because, I mean, the interesting thing about your book, your and Simon's book, was that it talked about the effect.
Radio Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland-Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland-Garros.
Roland-Garros. That Federer had on people. It wasn't a biography as such, was it?
No.
No.
No, not a pure biography at all. And we didn't, because that was good, because we didn't then need to go through all his matches and everything. You know, you can, and there are certain assumptions.
There are three of us, Chris Clary, René Stauffer and me, who've written biographies in sort of traditional, you know, profiles. So in a way, that had been done.
Yes, exactly.
You've taken a different angle.
There wasn't room for anything else. That's why we really enjoyed writing it, because we thought it was different, and that was the plan.
Djokovic plays a drop shot. Trundolo has got there and puts his forehand across court. This is a good game for Trundolo, but he needs to have a good game. Start of the second set.
Yeah, and it was clear immediately when we started speaking to people that they all had their own story to tell about him. He'd all touched them in different ways.
Yeah.
So that was quite fascinating. And also people loved talking about him. You know, they really, obviously, they liked Federer or had a lot to do with him. But they really enjoyed talking about it because it's part of their lives.
Yeah, there's a book out which is not dissimilar, basically called The People's Wimbledon by Richard Jones.
Yes.
Which is about Sorindolo hold serve, which is basically about the effect Wimbledon has had on ordinary people who've gone to see it.
Yeah.
Lots of very interesting low-level human interest stories.
Absolutely. There are lots of good books out there, and including Jordan in Queens, New York City, says, speaking of tennis books, I requested The Inner Game of Tennis from my local library after hearing your very interesting discussion on Radio Roland Garros last week. I'm number 38 on the hold list.
Well, there is a new edition coming out in August, apparently. After our discussion the other day, I went to find out about that. There is a new edition coming out. They've not updated the book, but they have got a new introduction by, I think it's Bill Gates, it's someone like that.
Yeah.
But the book itself, if you have a 1974 edition, it's just as good.
Sure. Exactly. John's pointing out, as we talked about this the other day, that former Irish tennis pro Conor Nyland is bringing out a memoir. It's out already, actually. And I've read an extract about him getting food poisoning at the US Open the day before he was due to play Djokovic. I remember that because I interviewed Conor at that tournament when he was due to play him. It was a really unfortunate match. And I think he ended up winning two games. It was something like love and two. So really unfortunate time for what was his biggest moment. He says it looks like it'll be an interesting look at the life of the journeyman. I think it will. Connor's a smart guy and had a lot of interesting experiences on the tour, so that'll probably be a very good one.
There was also a book about Nicolas Mahou based on his match against John Isner, which was Ghost, written by Philippe Bouin.
Ah, okay.
The former doyen of French tennis journalists. It was in French. I don't know if it's been translated into English, but it was basically about the life of a journeyman that was suddenly transformed by one match.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. 11 hours, 5 minutes.
I'm never quite sure about the word journeyman in relation to people who've got into the top 100, because if you meet anybody who can say they are in the world's top 100 in their profession, it's hard to call them a journeyman.
Yep.
Forehand from Sorundolo to the backhand of Djokovic. Forehand, Sorundolo is all overhit cross court. Djokovic moves to 30 love.
We've been talking about books, Marcus. We haven't spoken about Marcus's upcoming book yet. That's what we need to do, Marcus.
So it's not out yet.
Marcus
is
working
to promote it, but it's not out yet.
Marcus is working on a book.
Okay.
A very interesting book involving, all about Roger Taylor. The great British player, left-handed player, three times a Wimbledon.
Well, you say left-handed. He plays right-handed these days.
I know.
Because his shoulder is so injured from all his left-handed play that he's learned to play right-handed.
Well, he serves right-handed.
And then
he switches back and plays left-handed. It's phenomenal to watch. He comes down to my club in Bournemouth and he plays in the seniors events, and it's really amazing. He still hits the ball really well. But he's had a great life. I mean, speaking to Marcus about it various times over the last year, he's he was part of the Handsome Eight. He was played Wimbledon Pro. He beat Bjorn Borg at Wimbledon.
He did. Borg was, I think, 17 at the time. But
yeah, and Roland Garros champion, or coming up, just about to be.
He wasn't Roland Garros champion at the time. He won Roland Garros the following year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, that was the Wimbledon boycott year, which is a story in itself, because Roger Taylor's father was a trade union official, and Roger Taylor broke the strike.
Hey, have you got that in there, Marcus? Yeah, that's in there. Everything's there. All the juicy bits. Honestly, it sounds like a really good book, and I'm looking forward to it coming out, or being finished.
You've got to finish it now, Marcus. We promote it for you. That puts an obligation on you to finish the thing. Djokovic goes into out with his forehand. A high lob from Cirundolo. Djokovic will smash this away comfortably.
Lee says, yesterday on coverage, heard the word obdurate from Simon and lengthy wine appreciation. You guys are the best. Lee Farber from Bala near Philadelphia. Thanks, Lee. And Max says Djokovic is 81-3 when winning the opening set at Roland Garros in the main draw. Last defeat was when he won the first set was against Wawrinka in the final in 2015.
That's right. Yes. I think, and once he'd won the first set, then you'd have been thought of as a bit crazy if you'd say he'll lose this in four.
Yeah, but
Wawrinka
these guys
the match of his life.
They're amazing front runners. These guys, top guys.
Good drop shot from Cirundolo.
And John says, anyone for tennis is a good book, the Telegraph Book of Wimbledon, and also A Handful of Summers.
Book. That's Gordon Forbes.
Yeah.
That's a very sweet book because it's about life on the tour in the last days of amateur tennis before 1968. And Forbes himself is an interesting character. He died of COVID during the pandemic, yeah. Which is a shame because I'd been in contact with him. I said,
"It is a shame he's dead."
I'd like to do an interview with you, and he said, "Yeah, that's fine." And then,
So it's a shame that you didn't get to do your interview.
Well, it's a shame that he died of COVID.
Come on,
it's
a bit harsh.
He had wonderful people in the book, like Abe Siegel, who was a real character.
It's a really nice book.
It is a nice book. He wrote a follow-up, which wasn't as good, but A Handful of Summers is not. It's not side-splittingly funny. It's just gentle humour, and it's lovely.
Yeah, and it harks back to what must have been a nice time to play tennis.
Yes.
Just hanging around with your mates, drinking, basically.
Going around in a clapped-out van. Backhand from Cirundolo, wrong foot, Djokovic, and he moves to 40-love.
Crowd doing their best to lift Cirundolo.
Yes. The Tsitsipas brothers have broken and they've taken the second set against the defending champions.
Why not?
Simon's not listening to a word I say. He's chatting with Eleanor about fruit. But it's one set all now. So the Tsitsipas brothers are in a final set.
Good comeback.
Very good comeback. And that would be quite a shock, actually, if they were able to put out the defending champions, because they've been in the last two finals, Dodig and Krajicek. They lost to Arevalo and Roger 2 years ago from match point up, but they won it last year. Backhand from Djokovic down the line. That miscued badly, but it was 40-love. And so, after three games of the second set, we're on serve. Cirundolo putting up more of a fight in the second set than in the first.
The fruit list goes on. Tamarind is on the list because someone voted for it.
Yes, that's true.
And tamarind's a fruit. But Eleanor, who is being rather strict or maybe alternative facts...
Like a maths teacher.
...is ignoring the facts that are in front of her face and saying it's not a fruit.
I think the likelihood of me being a maths teacher is...
Somebody who wrote in and said that our dismissal of... My dismissal of the rubbish that he was writing made him think of me as like he thought of his math teacher.
Yes. I mean, I didn't even get the most basic qualifications in maths, so I'm not sure I'd be qualified to be a maths teacher. I would say I've ruled out tomato on the grounds that it's culturally a vegetable.
Yes.
And that there is a United States Supreme Court ruling of 1893, and I'd like to thank Jodie for this, who she wrote in stating that there was a Supreme Court ruling out tomatoes, saying that they were a vegetable. 1893.
Right.
Supreme Court stands, Simon. You can argue all you like. Tamarind, I'm willing to be persuaded on.
Just on a slightly more serious note, Djokovic has the trainer out at the moment, and he's got a slight problem with his right knee. Marcus, would you like to... I'm just looking at the way Djokovic's leg's being straightened. I think he may have a problem there. But anyway, I will leave. I'm sure your medical knowledge is better than mine.
Well...
Are you?
I can confirm it's the knee that's being looked at. I can also tell you that my maths teacher once threatened to beat me into submission, but that's another story altogether.
Well, it was the 1920s. The thing with Djokovic, yeah, he's bending his knee, flexing his knee, straightening it, flexing it, straightening it. The trainer is manipulating it.
He's
obviously got some sort of discomfort there.
It was the 1920s. It was still 20 years after you'd been to school. I mean, we should take this seriously. Listen, the guy is a setup on serve early in the second. I haven't seen all of the first set, but clearly he wasn't that troubled. The only way I think Cirundolo might have a chance is if he has done some damage here. And let's not forget, he had a 4-hour, 29-minute match that finished at, 7:03 in the morning, something like that, yesterday morning. He's not as fit as he was. Things have not gone as easily for him this year, as has been the case over the majority of the past 20 years. This is only the second time in 18 years that he's arrived at Roland Garros without picking up a title of some sort on his way. So,
well, and that means, of course, that he hasn't played as much tennis going into this time of year as he normally would have expected to do. And they've now got the mat out to obviously make sure that Djokovic doesn't get covered in clay as he lies down for treatment. He's lying on his back. And it is the right knee. The right knee is straight out, but both legs are straight out. And he's going to get some treatment just to try and make that knee feel better. Neither Marcus or I are medically qualified to the point where we can explain what's going on with his knee, but he is having extensive treatment on his right knee.
Well, just before Chris heads off, obviously you were calling the first set. Was there a moment or anything to suggest how this might have happened? Okay. Chris, slightly off mic, but I'm sure you heard there that he made serene progress during the opening set. Maybe something happened that nobody initially picked up upon. Thanks to Chris, he's heading off. Simon has darted off. I think he's got some other work to do. So, treatment continuing here on this beautiful sunny afternoon at Roland Garros. Long last, the weather is cooperating at the start of the second week. Elsewhere, Varvara Krejcová and Mira Andreeva are on serve in the early exchanges of their match on court Suzanne Longlin. They're sitting down with the teenager poised to serve at 2-3. Mention of the Tsitsipas brothers, Elena, taking the second set off the number four seeds, Dodik and Krajicek, on court 14, and the Tsitsipases are a break up in the third as well.
Well, that would be a big upset. I bet there's a good crowd out there and plenty of cheers for Tsitsipas and his brother. Of course, a potential Olympic pairing for Greece as well. And you have to think, a very good medal chance. Tsitsipas also... Well, he seems to have vacillated a bit on whether he's going to play mixed doubles with Maria Sakkari at the Olympics. I think he wants to. I guess it's just balancing the workload. He and Paolo Badosa did pull out of the mixed doubles here earlier today. So obviously that is a concern for all players. The Olympic tennis event, and by the way, you're not missing anything. There's just continued treatment now. Djokovic is lying face down now and having the back of his thigh and knee massaged and manipulated by the physio team. The Olympic tennis event is... It's quite compressed, isn't it? It's basically what would normally be a Grand Slam amount of tennis compressed into basically a week. So it's a really, really high workload for players who are playing singles, doubles and mixed doubles. Shorter matches, of course, because it's best of three in the singles, but still, it's a tough workload. And Djokovic now on his feet, he's still flexing and down on his haunches, just bending those knees, now doing a few calf and hamstring stretches against the side of the umpire's chair as he readies himself, hopefully, to resume. And we'll just, I think, keep an eye on his movement, particularly his lateral movement, changing direction, because